everything begins. Where all things come to light. Where truth, knowledge, and wisdom grow together. This is the
Infinite You. Second episode. What's up, guys? How's everybody doing? Welcome to Practical Spiritual Advising by Infinite You, which is you. So I'm going to reflect you back to you in the story of me. What a conundrum. Well, Harold Aho now. I'm the owner and founder of Infinite You, and this whole journey began with my spiritual awakening at the age of 33. I was born on 11/22/77 at 11 p.m. on the dot. And the more I dive into myself and my story, the more it makes sense for ascension and what we're doing here on planet Earth. And it really just gave me my purpose and my mission in this place. And the way that I can assist people is by telling my story and also just doing what I do. So when we get through all of this, you'll see the things that I put into action, and it should cause some type of a awareness or an awakening or some inspiration within you take some action. Or, you know, at the end of the day, when I get through this, you're going to be looking into your human design, and I'm going to lead you to the different programs and classes, courses, guides, videos, events, festivals, gatherings. I'm going to be like a hub for you. So through my stories, if you don't know me, you're going to know me. And I'm wanting to build a rapport. I'm wanting to be heard, listened to, just be completed as a being. And so let me, sorry, you're going to hear my chair rolling around here. Let me turn off the sound from my speakers real quick. Okay. So let's get comfortable. I want you to remember to breathe. If you haven't heard the first episode, I would advise you to go back and listen to episode 1. And, you know, anytime you recommend anybody come in and listen to the podcast, as I recommend you share this, the word's going to get around, and you might as well be on the forefront and be like, I was one of the first ones to share the podcast and introduce so many people to Harold Aho now and to ourselves and our mission here on Earth. You'll be like a hero to others because I'm going to assist them through you in helping them find themselves and their resting state as a being and their opportunity to co-create heaven on Earth. And if you stick around a while, I hope to inspire you to get your hands a little dirty, put some skin in the game, and through my storytelling, the things that I've actually done, see how the sequence of events occurred for me, and you may be able to find your way through it. So here we go. And again, don't forget to take deep breaths. This is a lot of information. It's a lot of cool stuff, but you know, the reason why I'm doing it this way is so we can create a not an overload of information. So again, going back to the first episode, you will hear myself and my partner Amber Alvarez, our story of being drawn to Sedona, Arizona for 11/11/11 for a starseed meetup, a gathering, an activation. And, you know, everything that entailed, I'm not going to talk about that too much. Go back, check that out, and we're going to pick up where we left off there. And so, and the way this is going to work too, if you're new to this, is within the stories, I'm going to find times that I get to revisit and look at things from a different perspective. And through that, I get aha moments and I'll express them as we go forward through this. And you get to figure those things out and see what it looks like to kind of break it down in real time. All right. So we left off with our last, day in Sedona and, you know, what information we picked up and how my aura photograph was really red, really dark, and just didn't make sense for the information that I was spitting out to strangers that worked in spiritual shops, right? So after we get back to San Antonio, and I want to, you know, remind you that this is, I mean, I'm 11 days away from my birthday. So at that time we're driving back, I'm like 10 days away from my birthday. And then we got Christmas right around the corner. And so Amber is looking, for, you know, gifts for me. And she finds a metaphysical shop in San Antonio and she buys some stuff for me. And I'm like, what, where's this place? We go check it out. I get my first deck of, Oracle cards and I still use them. And, they are the Ascended Masters cards and the, What Your Angels Want You to Know, but, both of them by Doreen Virtue. And, so this place is a block and a half away from my middle school and, you know, less than a mile away from where I went to high school. And remember, or, you know, part of, like, when I moved to San Antonio, I moved there at the age of 12, or I moved here at the age of 12. I grew up in a town named Temple, Texas. And so I moved here, you know, right into middle school. So, I mean, I came in and I was, like, spending a lot of my time a block and a half away from crystals and metaphysical stuff. And, you know, if I look back at the dates, this is, the store is probably about 2 years in to its existence, because it's inspired by, the Harmonic Convergence of 1987. And it's just, all these synchronicities, the owners of the place, Bill and April, amazing. And, you know, they, it was old school. You know, by the time I find it, this is like right at the end of 2011, like maybe December or whatever, maybe even late in November. I'm not 100% sure at the time frames, but, you know, first time going in there with Amber, we're checking out the store. I get the Oracle cards. I'm not sure what else I get. The next time I believe we go there, it's the Mind, Body, Spirit Fair. And there's vendors and there's discount on the Aura video machine and all these different things. And I'm like, whoa, there's lectures. And I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. This is like Sedona, but right here in my backyard, everything's so new to me. Everything's fresh. And like, it was just a beautiful time. Looking back, and I was like a baby just learning these things. And before going to the Mind, Body, Spirit Fair, I used those cards. I took them home and I pulled cards for myself. And I was like, you know, asking who my angels are. And, you know, three angels came in, and that was Archangel Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And, you know, I go to get my Aura video, and I want you to imagine this. This store was created in 1987, so it almost has like this 80s kind of, it's an old shopping center that has one of the oldest, like, you know, Blanco Cafe is like a really old restaurant. It's like a staple in San Antonio, and it's in the same place as that. And so it just has this energy of being around for a long time but still being dated, right? I think the carpet was green and, it was a lot of books, and, you know, CDs were still, and DVDs were still going around pretty well at that time. But, you know, it had the Aura video machine was a VHS, and we were well out of VHS by, right around 2012. And so it's funny, the TV that it's on, the monitor that's on, it's a CCTV, like a, one of those box ones. And it was old. So the what I paid for, I don't remember what I paid, but was for a 10-minute or a video along with a reading afterwards. And the person that was reading me was Sandy Bolt, who is a really good friend of mine now. And I'm getting this aura video, and, you know, from the first episode, you'll remember energy or the aura is very red and dark and stuff like that. So now I'm looking at it and it's orange. And so I start out orange, right? So this is, I'm giving you a little hint on what I was able to do with this aura video and watching myself for 10 minutes. Is it started out orange and I was like, wow, okay, cool. We're up a notch, right? We're at the next color phase. And then I'm like, all right, what's the next one? So the next one is yellow. And so I just start meditating and breathing and like focusing on, yes, on the color and just calming myself down. And I look up, I open my eyes and it's yellow. And I'm like, wow, okay, wow. I'm able to do this. So what happens is you can actually fluctuate your energy throughout the day with whatever you're focusing on. So I'm like, all right, so let me see if I can even go up another one. Like, all right, now we're like getting in a territory of like, how fast can you ascend, Harold? Like, you can go up and down your chakras all day long? And the answer is yes, depending on what you're focusing on. So the next thing I focused on was my heart. And so I close my eyes again, and I'm in the video, you can see me say love, and I'm focusing on my daughter. I only had one at the time. And so I'm thinking about Sadie and her, you know, she's just a baby, and holding her and all the love in the world that I have for her and everything. And so you can see the yellow just goes from yellow to green, and opening my eyes to that and just watching it happen right in front of my eyes was pretty amazing. And it really showed me that we can adjust our oscillation, our frequency at will, like we are in control. And when you're operating with control, you are in power. So these are the things that were shown to me through experiences. So I walk out of there with a videotape, like give you a whole cassette tape. And I have to take it to like my mom just so I can play it, because she's the only one in the family that has a VHS, a VCR. And so that all the while experiencing these magical things and finding places that were in my life all along, and, you know, it starting to make sense, and, you know, then wondering as a multidimensional being, like, man, did a parallel me walk over to the store one day and like go in there and check it out? And I'm now connected to that other alternate self that is more advanced than me here now. And, you know, I'm having these like thoughts of creating with my parallel selves and using their experiences, you know, because they made this other decision. And, you know, at the same time, still having very ugly moments with my partner. We were struggling to keep it together. She was young. I was, you know, stubborn. I thought I knew it all, and, you know, was learning so much that I was probably pretty arrogant in my ways, and, you know, probably didn't speak the nicest to her. And I know I didn't, right? And when we would get into it, it would be very ugly, like arguments and yelling and, you know, me punching the walls. And you know, that was a pattern pretty potent in our relationship in the beginning. And this is with our children, right? And so a lot of moments that, you know, we can revisit and be like, man, that was not a very smart move. Like, and we can, you know, either choose to rewrite that history by reimagining it and changing it into something that was better, or we can honor exactly what it was and how it served us. But I mean, if I could fast forward to the end of the story is you're in control of it all and you can do exactly what you choose to do and then see what that creates for you. I mean, it's really, there's a lot going on here. Let's not spill all of the beans just yet. I really want everyone to take a deep breath and remember that all of our experiences, all of the ups and the downs play a very beautiful role to lead us exactly where we designed ourselves to lead us. And some chose different roles of explaining this or making this aware. And so that's what I'm here to do, is just show through my own experiences how I've been able, because I'm wired the way that it is to like decode things. You know, that's part of my wiring. I asked my guides to make it abundantly clear that there were codes going on here. And so I put them in my birth. I put them in my awakening. I put them in, you know, my awareness and the way it's shown now. It's like we're living in a magical place that through our stories is how we're coming together. So let's keep it moving. So Unlimited Thought was a place that I would go often and sometimes just get, you know, escape to. And you know, a lot of times, or it wasn't even that long after finding out about the place that I was, you know, teaching class. I was like, hey, I got a story. This shit's crazy. I went to Sedona. We're supposed to be shifting earth and we're building this and doing that. And I hadn't experienced everything. I hadn't met all the people that do the things that I was talking about. And I hadn't put myself in those places at that time. And I was teaching a class called Understanding the Shift. And the information that I was getting at that time was, you know, this galactic stuff and integrating, you know, everything, but knowing that there's this dark side of everything that's controlling and the everything's about to be shifted. And, you know, we got December 21st, 2012 coming. So buckle your seat and, you know, get ready. We got a year left and, you know, I was probably maybe like fucking under a year at that time. Like, holy moly, when I think back to like how quick everything was showing, like, you know, I had my awakening at the end of 2010. And so I had basically 2011 to gather a bunch of intel. And then, you know, we're jumping into 2012. And at the end of 2012, we're supposed to be shifted into a whole new paradigm from my mindset, like what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, we'll already have land and blah, 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 this and that. And so, whew, man, this, like, piecing this all together is like, wow, what I was thinking and what I was, you know, imagining and where we are now, it's been a very, you know, arduous and it's been a hero's journey for sure. And I'm here telling my hero's journey. And so anyway, hop back into it. Let me light this incense real quick. All right, that'll smell better. Okay. So 2012, as we roll into it, I am now meeting local native elders, Virgie Ravenhawk and her wife, and just everybody's been, you know, starts coming into play. Rocio and, you know, Belinda Magic, who else? Like just so many different people that started, you know, giving answers and guidance, you know, through me paying attention and really yearning for this awareness of my, you know, mission here. And what does that look like? And, you know, what am I doing for my children and for all children? And let's see, I think, in early 2012, we discovered that I getting messages here. Early 2012, we discovered that we were pregnant with Autumn. And Amber and I were on the verge of like breaking up or staying together. It wasn't, you know, we were back and forth. It was a lot of stuff. We were like, it wasn't very harmonic. And so with that, we decided to continue our relationship and be there for each other. And, you know, I guess that was our thing to sign ourselves in and really be in it. Because, I mean, I'm a father, and the last relationship I didn't want. Like I wanted to be a family man and see what that was like. And I did that and I loved it. And, you know, I was like, I just want my family back. And little do I know, I manifest Amber and three bonus boys. And then we have another, and, you know, I had one before. So it was like, you know, Brady Bunch, we just like jumped into this whole thing with a bunch of children, and we're doing all this stuff with kids and going, you know, water park and swimming and birthdays. And, you know, we jumped into this life like pretty quick. And, you know, it was, also Amber again was young and still experimenting, you know, or wanting to experiment. That was her pattern. So we were experimenting with just ourselves being with in our relationship. So, you know, being mean, ugly to each other, and also with psychedelics and, you know, really diving into this like sacred sex magic. And we experienced and experimented, you know, with that. And, you know, a lot of juiciness going on and making love and sloppy drool and just like the most passionate, dive into another human being, as you can imagine, and being absolutely blissed out through all of this. And so obviously having those types of moments and then having the arguments, you know, you weigh what your soul is really desiring. And both of our souls said it. We wanted to continue the ups and the downs and the roller coaster. And we did. And here we are 11 years later. And so if we can, I mean, so what happens in 2012 is I'm doing the classes in and out. I'm learning about earthships. We're adjusting our diet, learning about the moringa tree. We've moved, I think, by that time. Amber will button up all the dates and everything later on. But, you know, we're still doing all the things. And I can't remember exactly what date we went to Medicine for the People. I believe that was in sometime in 2012. Medicine for the People is a spiritual gathering, that used to be closer to Houston and now is right outside of Austin, Texas. And, so I'm not going to dive into that. I want to get the dates for sure, whether it's 2012 or 2013. I'm not 100% when we went exactly, but, let's see. Autumn was like a year or two. So it had to be 2012 or 14 or something. So anyway, get it together, Harold. So anyway, in 2012, while we're getting up to the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012, throughout that year, I think I was working at Rainforest Cafe, which is crazy because I didn't realize how, yeah, it's Rainforest Cafe, but there's all over it, the hieroglyphs, not the hieroglyphs, but like the artwork and stuff is Mayan inspired. And so you have Pocahontas and, you know, different beings and glyphs that are all over the place that are like, you know, a dude inside of a spacecraft. And, you know, all these really, really amazing things. And I was right there, you know, serving and bartending and waiting, you know, bussing tables and stuff like that, or running food. I wasn't a busser. And spreading as much knowledge as I could, learning breath work. And somewhere around that time is when I met my buddy Miguel Angel. He reached out to me because he found a YouTube video that Amber and I recorded when we were in Sedona. And he said he grew up in San Antonio and lived in Dallas now, and, you know, we should connect or keep in touch. I could probably find the YouTube video and see, but I think I have and I couldn't find it. So maybe he reached out through Facebook so long ago, and because of the YouTube video or something. So we're communicating, and somewhere around November, I believe, or early December, they do this thing called Omen the Dome, and he invites me, and I take Sadie and Javi, the two little ones, and Autumn was born already. She was a baby, so Amber stayed at home with her, and plus she had to take the boys to their football game. And so we drive up to Austin, and we meet outside with everyone to do yoga for a little bit in the front lawn, and it's about 300 people. And then we file into the state capitol building, which is made out of granite. Granite is, you know, a bunch of crystals all, you know, combined into one rock. And when the sun hits it, it expands. And then when it, you know, the sun sets, it cools off. And so, So anyway, granite buildings contain harmonic, you know, opportunities to put harmonic resonance within them. And they do anyway because of the crystals. But we'll get into the details of that in an online course or something. But just so you know, there's some magic going on when you step inside of a granite building. And so we're in all four levels of the inside of the dome, and they put a microphone set up. They put a crystal grid in the center with selenite and the Star of David, Star Tetrahedron, and like all this, you know, I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, who are all these people? And I see some people. I'm like, you know, drawn to a few. Like, I don't talk to them, but I see them. And it's crazy looking back. And, so when we're done with, and so what we do is we ohm for 21 minutes. There's videos on YouTube. You can find them, Ohm in the Dome, Austin, and just like sit with some headphones on and like just melt your heart. And it's amazing. And all of us gathering there, we ohm for like 21 minutes. And then we sing, you know, Imagine by John Lennon, all together, heart, you know, hugging each other in the center, rocking back and forth. And it's like so magical and it's beautiful. And a lot of people are crying, and we're just, expressing our heart and dreaming the same dream. And we do this together in this place. It's done in the afternoon. So it's absorbing all of our, you know, heart codes from the inside. And when the sun sets, it pushes out all of our heart codes from this dome and puts that into ethers. And that's how you, you know, that's how you shift planets. Like, gather in a fucking dome or gather together and push your heart coherence, you know, with just seeing and singing with each other and oming together and, you know, seeing a brighter future together, you know, with your children there and they're crying, you know, in between ohms and, you know, or some of them are, you can hear them laughing or whatever's going on. Like, you just let it be and you melt into the whole experience of it. No matter. And mind you, this is in the state capitol building. So there's suits, you know, 3-piece suits, business suits walking all around us getting business done. and our hearts are just vibrating through this place through papers and all this stuff. And anybody, you know, I've had people post negative things about doing that. Oh, and then they did this to hunt down LGBTQ or trans people and blah, blah, blah. It didn't work at all. Y'all are doing nothing by oming in there. And it's like, I beg to differ. You're just seeing what they want you to see. They're not hunting anybody down. They're not like, you're seeing incoherence in the field. And if you want to play in it, then you'll play in it. If you want to push out something that makes sense in what you're doing and how you be, then do that. And then you'll see what happens in your world. You're a reflection of exactly what's going on internally. If you get attacked by anybody, you should probably see if you're attacking people, whether it's mentally or physically or emotionally. Sometimes people that are hurt and wanting to scream out that everybody's attacking them do a lot of attacking to people, attacking on others, and they don't notice how they're doing it. They may not be throwing fists in and physically attacking them, but they're attacking people with their belief systems by forcing others to bow down to them. That's an attack. That's an attack. I'm sorry. That's an attack. You tell me how to talk and how to do this and that. Without a conversation and without some clear, you know, like you don't even know me and you're like, so it's whatever. I'm not even mad at that because I've had people that express they want to be, you know, pronouned whatever. And that's on whatever. I'm not mad at anybody for that. I respect everybody for doing it, but I want everyone to realize what they put themselves in. If you put yourself into a box of anything of any kind, even if it's a box of outside the boxness, that's still a box. And you're still stuck to a paradigm of unparadigming things. Allow things to be, breathe it in, allow it to integrate. So that's the story of you know, infinite you. When we're all, you know, allowing each other to be, but not allowing each other to hurt one another. There's a thing with when you want to put yourself in a slight state of incoherence, you could vibrate yourself into a place of extreme incoherence and see a lot of it around and really have a lot to say, no, but look at this. They're never going to change. They do this. And I'm just, I don't experience it. And if I do, it is, I'm able to speak to it and then it adjusts. Like, let's fast forward to recently, because we're jumping around here. This is part of the story. We'll jump back to 2012 here in a minute, but speaking things into coherence. So at least three times, if not exactly three times, more than, I could say it at least two, but I know it's at least three, or it's for sure three if I'm, I don't think I forgot any time. There may be one in there, but I've had people speed past me in a school zone and then be super slow when it's not a school zone, or just speed in the school zone and it really irritates me because I do have children and I myself, I, you know, hit someone, a 14-year-old. It was after the school zone times when I was, I think I was 16 years old. I had my car and it was, this will take you back. This will take you, and here's another story and take you way back. I got out of high school. I went to pick up my girlfriend. And when we were driving back with her and my sister, I had my sister in the car. I went to pick up my girlfriend, came back. Girlfriend's in the front seat, sister's in the back. And I drive past our high school, heading back to our apartment, to where I live with my mom. And we're dropping off my sister, I believe. And so there's a city bus that's coming the opposite direction on this street, Jackson Keller, that's just a little bit wider than one car. It's not made for two vehicles to, but if you had to go around someone and they scooted over, you would be able to. And, but it is one lane. And so the city bus is coming the opposite direction, maybe, I don't know, half a football field past the school, and it lets off a group of people. And one of the, a 14-year-old boy got off the bus and just ran towards the back of the bus and attempted to run across the street without looking at all. Like, okay, imagine bus coming the opposite direction as you. You're driving down the road and you see the bus and you see it stopped and I'm still looking ahead of me and making sure no cars are going around the bus. Like, I'm watching out for cars. And so almost as soon as I get even with the end of the bus, this boy darts out of nowhere and basically just like appears. And I hit him full on. And his head goes through my windshield, hits my dash, and his shoulders, I believe, hit the roof of the car where the windshield met, and it forced him to flip up in the air doing like cartwheels, and it hit him so fast that it almost caused him to hit the back side of the roof with, I don't know, maybe his knees or something, and it propelled him up in the air. Like, it went boom, boom, and he went flying up in the air and landed on the side of the road. I was doing maybe like 35 miles an hour and didn't even have a chance to let off of the gas. And, like, I just screamed, fuck, and, you know, pulled over immediately, and there were shards of glass and little pieces of glass went and, you know, got on my sister and my girlfriend, and I run back to check on him, and, you know, he's laying down, he's got his hands, kind of on the brow, on his forehead, you know, like laying down with one leg up, like his foot's resting on the ground, the other one's laid out, you know, and not sure if you can imagine that. But anyway, he's laying down and he's breathing. And so I'm like, let me go knock on the door and get an ambulance. And I don't think cell phones were, this is like 95, 94, somewhere around there. Like, it was, 95 or 94. And, so I was on the news that night. He lived, he had like a fractured skull, broken collarbone and leg and arm or something. They wanted to sue me, but I was so young, I didn't handle any of that. Like, my aunt handled this. I don't know. My dad was disabled, so he really couldn't do anything. I don't remember how it all went down. I just know that I wasn't in trouble. And, there were witnesses that saw that he darted out of nowhere. And, you know, I always had like, okay, he's fine. We'll move past that. So we got the windshield fixed, and it never was fixed correct. I always had, like, when it was a hard rain, I always had, you know, water leaking on me and stuff like that. So, but that was my car for a good while. Anyway, so, this is why I had, some issues with someone, darting out and, you know, speeding in the school zone and buses and, you know, like, just being careful, man. Like, you don't need to be hauling ass everywhere. You don't need to be, maybe I did that, back in the day, but, you know, that was really quick in my driving experience, that ever since then, I'm like, I would be way more careful, like always. So going back to the people speeding in the school zones, I would catch up to these guys. All of them were guys. Sometimes there's a woman. I never caught up to her. But these three, they were guys. And I would catch up to them, roll my window down, and say, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you speeding in the school zone? It's not my job to have to pay attention to the signs. Did you not see it back there? And this is the response I would get. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, I didn't see it. I did. I know better. Yes, I know better. I'll do better. I'm sorry. And so I would get that type of response from these people every time. Like, they got scared, and it was me. Like, if we're talking about reflections and stuff, that was me checking myself and being like, hey, be careful. There's children out here. Like, that's not my job to pay attention to everything. That's your job. We're all, you know, reflections out here. Hey, check yourself. Don't do that. And so I did that, and it wasn't ever like road rage or anything. Like, these people were like, I'm sorry, I will correct myself. And that's just, you know, how we can communicate with the world around us, and you know, all is one and we're reflection, but we've got to be able to communicate with ourselves in a constructive way. And, you know, and the way I did that was assertive, and I wasn't like just demeaning to them. It was like, hey, check yourself, man. It's not my job to do this. That's your fucking job. And they felt the energy behind it and they shifted. And so we can do those things. So let's get back to 2012. A lot of that stuff was going on. It was me discovering, you know, galactic stuff and how to balance my own self, and seeing that in, you know, asking questions in my head and getting answers in different ways. And Amber and I going through our own things. So there was a lot of ups and downs in this roller coaster. And so after we get past the ups and downs, we have an opportunity to see what those meant and how they were picking up pieces. And you were able to like bounce down at the bottom of an experience and the depths of it where it's very hard to maneuver and you felt very trapped, and breathe through it and remember that you had tools that you could use. And then, and those tools were coming to me in synchronicities and going and checking on a YouTube, you know, person that I'm, you know, I'm connected with them now. That's a homie. And that's, you know, Rion DeRowan from Team Light. He was, you know, right there in my awakening. He was the reason why I went out to Sedona. So I would, you know, check in on his videos. He was doing this periodically. He was showing up for me. And I was honoring what messages he was coming in. They were coming through loud and clear. It was very synchronistic in the information that was coming through. I don't think a lot of his videos from way back then are still on YouTube. Like, he had a channel and he's got those under lock and key, and he's going to do something with them. I'm excited to see some of that information of him, you know, back at his mom's in the den, and, you know, fucking with his crystal wand and doing like energy work. Like, yo, those were inspiring moments for me. That was ninja type shit that I was witnessing. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be that. And so I tried to do that and be that on my YouTube videos. And you'll see that stuff from the very beginning. So you can look at my YouTube videos. And I think there's a few things that I've hidden because, you know, for a little while there, and I'll release them back here again, because for a little while there, this was like, hey, I got to start working with the schools, and they're not going to work with anybody that's talking about psychedelics and dimethyltryptamine and, you know, has their child right there like, here, do this energy work that you do before you do a DMT hit, baby. They're like, what is this? That's the guy that's been the guard in our school. And I don't have to do that. My buddy Stephen Lucky does that now. This is how I have reflections of mine that are very good at what they do. And they're getting better and better by the day. And I'm watching them, and they don't know that I'm watching them all the time, even though I've told them, I'm like, yo, I'm watching you. So, you know, as we maneuver through these stories, you're going to see how it all comes together, and you don't have to do it all. Right now, where we're at in the storytelling is me going through some deep, dark stuff and learning about myself and learning about how I maneuver and operate through this place and how I'm bouncing up and down and picking up pieces of stuff that I needed to clear for the collective and for myself. And so that's the practical spiritual advising, is being able to know that that's what's happening when you're going through these things. And it allows more light on the situation where you're like, okay, I get it. That's some ancestral shit. Like, that's my lower self clearing out some new stuff. And, you know, you put what you want on it. You're the one that had some visions and some dreams and some things that happened where it makes sense for you forwards and backwards. I'm just showing you how it made sense for me. This may make sense for you too. So just dive in it, play with it. You know, this is, you know, through your own experiences, that's how you're going to be able to decode yourself. I'm just showing you mine. And then I put timestamps and all this stuff so you can kind of see where, oh shit, me too, during the same time. Wow, okay, I get it now. And that's where we play with each other, because some of my stories are big enough where there were collective shifts going on and we get to fill those shifts together and revisit them. All right, let's keep going. Perfect. I'm glad you're rolling along with this. Tell everybody to follow this. This is Practical Spiritual Advising by the Infinite You, because this is how we become the Infinite You. You are infinite by honoring my story. You see yourself in it. I honor your story. Communicate. Let me know what you feel about the information that I'm putting out here on, on my podcast. You have an opportunity to communicate. I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait to the day where I get overwhelmed with communication from everyone letting me know. My TikTok is lit. Go follow there. Facebook has a lot of interaction stuff there. Instagram, help me build that up. I got it hacked, and so we can rebuild my Instagram. Let everyone know. Share, like, follow. Sign up for the email newsletter for sure. That's going to get you some really good information with your human design. I'm putting some online courses together. This is all new information from me through my experience. This is stuff that I'm learning through. I mean, I nowadays I really don't like to read books. There's so much information coming from a lot of perspectives online through videos, and just through my own decoding of my own. I put myself in the video game and in the experience, and there's a lot of interaction going on with the people around me. I have a really good network of people that I can communicate and find out information, data points on what's going on with them after we connect at sacred sites and we do activations, we do checkups. We do have new teams that are sprouting up that are very good at keeping in touch with you after you have experiences where you can expand your consciousness and put stuff on a whiteboard with a team that will guide you. Communicate with me and I can assist you to retreats from people that I trust. You know, fast forwarding to now, you will learn as we go through each of these years. In the beginning of this podcast, it will be the storytelling. This will evolve to more of the here and now stuff. It's coming in really quick. A lot of information, a lot of coherence that's being pushed within the holographic matrix that I'm here to gift you. And so you can just ride along and see a lot of different mediums and avenues that we are presenting this information through videos. And it's all adapting right now. You're going to watch it as it goes along. This is going to be a tremendous, marvelous, amazing ride. I'm allowing everyone to give me your input. I want to know where your dreams are. We are going to see how they integrate with where this all goes. This is ascension. This is elevating the entire place because it's elevating itself, and we are here as the humans, the hue of a being, to write some very big things that have been put in a state of incoherence. And we are here to grow big and grow very big and be all of these things that allow us to be the biggest that we can be. And we become this big and integrated and fully harmonized, coherent beings that knows like, oh my gosh, I have a pineal gland. That's my stargate. I am actually like a multidimensional being. I'm better than a spaceship. I don't need a spaceship. I don't need these physical things to put myself into other places. I can beam myself there now once I get to know myself. And so we're going into a very wondrous and massively integrated state with all of the opportunities and dimensions that are set forth before us, that we are destined. It's our destiny. We are doing this collectively, and this is a choice. So whoever wants to choose to do this collectively, there's a lot that are willing, that are ready, that have put in a lot of work and play to find the balance within themselves to communicate effectively. And so this is the next big thing for us. And so as we go through the storytelling, 2012, we have the Ohm and the Dome. And so I'm going to take, like, we're getting here towards the end of 2012 real quick. And we may, obviously, as you can tell, we may backtrack in there if we pick up some information that comes through as we bounce around in a quantum field of storytelling that allows everything to make sense forwards and backwards. And so towards the end of 2012, I had run into a friend named Miguel Angel on Facebook and YouTube. Amber and I posted a video of our journey to Sedona on 11-11-11, which is in our first episode. And this video is on my YouTube channel. So if you go back, I think it's like the first video. And you can see that. And Miguel reached out and was like, "Hey, brother, I'm in Dallas and I grew up in San Antonio and I was in Sedona on 11-11-11. And so we became friends. And soon after, he invited me and the family to Austin to experience Ohm and the Dome and participate. And this was led by a friend of his and a group that had been doing amazing stuff. And so I'm like, fuck yeah. We had just had Autumn. So early 2012, we find out about Autumn. And 9/27/2012, Autumn is here. Amber's at home with Autumn. And the two of the bonus boys, the twins, they have a football game, so she's got to take them. And so I take Sadie and I take Javi. They're the little ones. And so I think they must have been like 5 or 6. I'm not going to try. I don't want to dive into thinking about that too much. Anyway, they're little. And so we're at Ohm and the Dome. We're outside the Capitol building and we're doing yoga with like 300 plus. And then we file into the Capitol building and do the Ohm, right? And so that whole experience was an amazing, magical time that creates a specific energy out into the ethers, right? So right after that is when Miguel introduces me to Jeremy Yaws, who is also in Sedona on 11-11-11. Now, by this time, I had met Rocio at Unlimited Thought during the Mind Body Spirit Fair, and I got a Organite pendant. And this is what Miguel was like, "Yo, you got an Organite pendant? My buddy Jaws makes those. Here, let me introduce you." Okay, boom. Jaws, "Oh, yeah, I make those. Look at this. This is what mine look like." "Oh, fuck yeah, dude. That's dope. You make those here? I'd like to know how you make them. Now I'm intrigued, because in my human design, I don't have my own ideas. I grab others and I amplify them. I'm like, yo, that's amazing. And that's what we can do. And we really start honing in on our design. And all of us are running our design. So as you look at your human design, it's a free human design chart. And in the email newsletter, I'll be giving away a free guide to that, right? And so as you look into your own personal human design and the people around you, you'll see the way that you know, you bring in others' ideas or it's your own. And so I picked up off of Jeremy Yaws' ideas and his Orgone Vortex pendants. And you can find his shop, orgonevortex.com. And he does amazing work. So meet him. And that's later in the story. I learn a lot about what he makes with those and I start to make my own. And but I get invited to an activation at Enchanted Rock. And this is with Sage Lion, and then I believe the date was like 12/13/2012 or something like that. And so I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to go do an activation. I've never done this before. And I drive to Enchanted Rock. I had never been there before, and I drive by myself. I get there way earlier than everyone else because Miguel told me we're supposed to be there at a specific time that was not the time. I think what he was telling me is like, "Oh no, we're leaving Austin at this time to go get breakfast and then head over there." And I'm like, what the fuck? By the time I talk to him, they're barely stopping to get breakfast. And I'm like, man, I got like at least 2 hours until they get here. But I was supposed to, like, I got here at this time. I need to honor that. And so I did. I ran to where they said they were going to meet up. I was on the wrong side of Enchanted Rock. I hauled ass up, you know, the side of this thing that's a 45 degree angle. Anybody that doesn't know anything about Enchanted Rock, look it up, watch videos, go yourself, gather the codes. But I run up the side of this thing like I'm in a marathon or some shit, and I'm running from the devil or whatever. And I stopped maybe for like a few seconds at one point, three quarters of the way up, and then I book it the rest of the way. I get there with just enough time before the deadline of when I thought we were supposed to be there. And 1 second, while I get some water. I see that there's some high school group that's there on a trip. And I'm like, hey, do y'all mind helping me out? My friends are supposed to be here, or at least I thought they were. So I'm here now. I want to do this activation. I pick this spot right here. Help me. Let's hold hands in a circle. And I'm going to say some words and, you know, namaste. And they got a picture with me. It was awesome. It was dope. They said, you're so cool. And that, you know, I got done with that little activation. And I'm like, all right, cool. And still got some time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go run around that area that's got all the fucking trees. I just feel like going rooming around this whole thing. And I did it three times. Ran around the whole thing three times. You've been to Enchanted Rock. You know what I'm talking about. It's the area where there's like grass down there and some trees and stuff. And I ran around that big old circle three times, you know, skipping and just having fun. And after that, I'm now like positioned, like I find out they're like, oh no, they said, go meet over there at the very top. There's a little metal thing there and you can find that. By this time I meet some other people that are also there for this activation. I think it was like 30 of us, you know, everybody shows up. And I introduced myself to the person that's leading it, Sage Lion. And she says, I introduced myself and I'm like, hey, just, you know, I got here early and I went ahead and did some other activation. So I was right over there and I got these children and we did this thing. And then after that, I went over there and I circled that three times. And then I came over here and, you know, you said we're meeting up here. And she goes, that's crazy. So let me tell you what happened. On the drive here, I thought, let's do the activation at this spot that we've done it before, because water gathers right there and we'll do it into the water. And that, I was like, oh, that's where I did that first thing. And she's like, yeah. But then as I was walking up here, I said, all right, well, fuck it. If we're not going to go there, where are we supposed to go? She goes, well, maybe we do it by the trees, the grassy area. And then I was like, oh shit, that's right. I did that. And she goes, yeah, no. And then while I'm walking up here, they said, no, you need to move it to the tip top. Like those are already, you know, so she was like, I guess you knocked out those portals and we're all collectively going to do it at the very top. And I'm like, whoa, that's fucking amazing. So I started seeing like how just following my, you know, my response, like they were in my human design as a manifesting generator. I have a physical response, a visceral response that happens that leads me to do what I'm feeling is most going to make me happy. And I did it. And it just so happens to be within a flow of the collective. And so I thought that was very amazing. And so we knocked out this triple portal, you know, thing at the top of Enchanted Rock. And we all did this, you know, she read this thing from the Hathors. And, you know, we saw like a helicopter hovering around us and like looking down. And the clouds were like in this very cool wave formation that we're like, whoa, look at the clouds. And what was that helicopter? And it was chilly. And, you know, we took pictures afterwards. And, you know, it was my first thing of doing this other than Sedona, where I'm like, okay, cool. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I had seen plenty of videos and things online where I didn't feel like it was completely strange to me. And plus, this is something that I set up for myself many, you know, before I even came here to do. And, so everything was playing out in a very magical way. You know, I get back and one of the pictures that I posted or that someone posted or whatever, like had this girl that had showed up late and she was cold. Well, not that she was cold. I think we took a picture. She was cold because she had a fucking, like, she came in shorts or something. So she had a blanket. And that's why when we took the picture, it was like, hey, she had it around me. But it was, I think that's the picture. But anyway, we were next to each other when we took the picture. We were not next to each other the whole fucking time. But I get slack for it from Amber. And it was this whole thing. It was an argument. And it just was not fun because I was complete, like, the worst thing that I did is I felt guilty because I smoked some cigarettes and she thought I had stopped smoking cigarettes because I was lying. I was still smoking cigarettes and, you know, I bummed one from someone and, you know, I think there was a picture of me in one of the pictures or whatever, video or whatever. And I was like, oh man, fuck man. I'm like, you know, that's what I'm hiding, you know, and not trying to mess with any girl or anything. Like, this is like, I went with, this is a complete activation. So that was some of the stuff that we were dealing with, like jealousy and insecurity and, you know, stuff on, you know, mainly her part on, you know, oh, you wanted, you'd be better off with some hippie chick and I'm not, I don't believe in what you believe in. So a lot of the stuff, she wasn't like completely in it. At this time, I still felt like I was alone. Like, I'm telling her my stories and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. But doesn't completely understand. Amber didn't go through her awakening until 2018. So this whole time for like 6 years, I'm in this shit, 6, 7 years, I'm in this shit by myself pretty much. And I'm battling the person that says they love me. And so nobody, that's the part that I really want to, you know, hey, Amber, I know if you're listening to this later, she knows, and she's not going to deny any of that. We were going through a lot of stuff where we shouldn't even be together. We're like, what the fuck? Like, you know, she tells me, and I would always tell her, like, if you did this to me, would you even be with me? She's like, no, I wouldn't. And I'm like, why the fuck am I still here? Then she's like, you could go. And I'm like, man, but fuck my children, my this and that, and all of this stuff, like, fuck you, man, this fucking bullshit. And, you know, at the end of the day, during those times, I didn't feel secure in the money I was making. So a lot of those times was like me not feeling secure myself to support myself. And I didn't want to have my two children be there at my mom's forever. And you know, I feel a little, you know, I don't want to call it guilt, but like some energy, like, where, yeah, it was, it's not using, but it was like, man, it was just more comfortable. It was more easy to stay in the situation. And, you know, I feel some of the guilt would be feeling bad about my daughter still being stuck in that, because that was a lot of what we were going through, is Amber not being the coolest stepmom or whatever it was, not wanting. I didn't ever want to be with anybody that had a child. And that's a lot of what we were going through. Because baby mama was in the picture with, you know, wanting child support, and we're arguing about money, and we're arguing about this and that, and how long did you talk to her, and what did she ask, and, you know, it was a lot of stuff like that that I dealt with that I, you know, all intents and purposes, I shouldn't have. I should have been strong enough to be like, you know what, forget that, I'm out. But staying through it, you know, I want to write the story on whatever this means. And so I choose to have everything have a purpose. And so, you know, shoot, the relationship that Sadie and Amber have now is night and day. They love each other and they can say that to each other. And they do. They say I love you to each other more than I do to the boys, but we're boys. And I don't know, it gets awkward. They're teenage boys now. Just, you know, we do say we love each other, but not every night. Like, hey, love you, good night. Like, you know, that's too much for me. Whatever. But it's different with my girls. And it's different with girls, I believe. I feel there's, you know, I'm not trying to. Anyway, I didn't want you to get into that shit. At the end of the day, we were dealing with a lot of stuff. And we're still experiencing all this magic and everything. And going and doing activations and still, like, paying the price for doing these things. And, you know, emotions getting in there with, you know, like, it's worth it, you know, like, at the end of the day, all those things that we went through and just like arguing and fighting and like, man, putting our children through it. Like, we put our children through this shit. When I said I would never do that type of stuff, I don't want to argue in front of them, but we did that. We did that. We're both guilty of it. We're both guilty of it. We'll both take blame for the stuff that was going on then. And, you know, that's part of the process, is to be able to look back and not have complete guilt and just like now I say that, oh, there's still a little bit, because, you know, I know my children will hear this. And if I don't say there's a little bit of it, then they're going to be like, yeah, I didn't even care then. No, it's going to serve the purpose for them. I mean, I grew up with my mom being beat and, you know, an alcoholic and all these things. And I can't sit there and like just still place blame on her for whoever I am. You know, I'm an amazing person. And I want my children to be amazing, and whatever experience I had served its purpose. And we can obviously right now look at the turnaround from Amber and my oldest, Sadie, their relationship, and what was built from that, you know. And these are the things that we go through to create very strong bonds. If we can come through some bullshit and really see each other on the other end, it's like, wow, I saw you grow. I saw you grow. So my daughter saw an adult grow, you know. And, you know, Amber got to see herself grow, and, you know, Sadie's getting to see herself grow and evolve from holding grudges and stuff like that to, and not being seen, to being seen and loved and cared for, and someone saying, I'm so sorry, I will, you know, make it up to you, and I'll show you the love that you deserve. And that's an amazing story, to just see someone, you know, be like, I should have loved you this whole time and you deserved it. And for someone to, you know, for my daughter to be like, oh my gosh, that's got to be so a gift, right? And so this is what I bring, is these opportunities to look at things from the other end of it and piece it together. And this is the practical spiritual advising that I keep harping about, right? So this is me, Harold, a-hoeing, a-ho-nowing. So I want to remind y'all, Harold is to bring forth the good news. And so this podcast, as it evolves and the series goes on, I'm going to keep bringing forth the good news, that you too can have these states of awareness that bring harmony and coherence into what you thought did not have harmony and coherence. Like, you thought it was all fighting and all bad news, and something that you got to, like, every time you look at it is something that puts you into, why me? No, 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 no. This is time to see the purpose and the rhyme and the reason for all those experiences that were not in a state of coherence, because it's up to you to gain that perspective, to put it into a state of coherence by giving it its purpose now. And then your story comes out and, you know, all these wonderful things. And so I thank y'all for riding along for another part of this. This ends right before the end of the Mayan calendar and the activation of Enchanted Rock. And you'll see how important Enchanted Rock comes to this when we get towards the end of this story, into this setting the tone. You know, we have an amazing opportunity in it. Hey, if you're lucky enough to go look at the other information that I have through my other social media and the email and all that stuff, you'll kind of know what we're talking about here. And this will all make sense, and you'll see like how magical this story is. And if you're just going to ride it through each episode, it should easily make sense on how magical this story is, especially if I can, like, you know, keep you rolling along with this. And with that, I want to remind each of you that you're doing absolutely amazing. And it's all going to make sense when we're on the other end of this, and we're not far at all. And just keep breathing and just keep moving and just keep showing up for you. You know, you're the only one that can keep yourself in check. Don't rely on other people and place blame on them, and they didn't do this and they didn't do that to keep you in check. We got to do this stuff ourselves, and looking at your human design, your galactic signature, and the other stuff that I have available for you will assist with that. So it's not just through the storytelling that I want to assist you. I have tangible things that you can have on your wall, that you can have on your person, that you can dissect the information with everything. And so until the next episode, and, you know, we're going to try to maintain with doing these every Monday, sometime Monday. I'd like to have them early Monday so you can listen to this on your drive. If I can't produce it and put it out for you until late Monday, just follow along. Just know that we're trying to keep this on a regular schedule so you can plan your day by it. And with that, I want you to love always, in all ways. Y'all have a wonderful evening, day, morning, afternoon. Peace.